Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right. Welcome to the American Allegiance Show. The number to call is 347-637-3942. 347-637-3942. Welcome to the program. We were just here last Wednesday. This is a special interview in the meantime. And I have another one coming up on Wednesday night. So, but first, hold on.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
That's right. We don't have to show any badges around here unless you go to the base. And you have to show the badge. You don't get on. But that's another story. So, waiting for my guest to arrive. Calling from, actually, it's all computerized, and he's trying to connect from England. So, I've never done this before. I don't think I have. I might have. But today's guest is Stephen W. Cheshire. That makes it even more regal. So, this is Mr. Cheshire is an author, and he just recently found a publisher for his new book. And I think it's 11:30 his time right now. He's supposed to be connecting. But if he doesn't, then we'll have to screw up, because I really want to interview him. He has some great books out there, very informative sci-fi stuff. Well ahead of its time, and I won't give away the book that I had the opportunity to publish, but we didn't at the time. So, but what he wrote about is actually coming true today. He wrote this back in 2018, and it's got a lot of action. So even got zombies in it. So it's amazing. He saw this before the pandemic ever happened. So, and he has a lot of details in there that actually show things that we're going through right now. Now, how did he get that? I don't know. But, you know, this isn't his first book. So he's got a lot of talent, a lot of capabilities, and he's a very austere man. So hopefully we'll get him on real soon. See if I can get some mileage here. But in the meantime, while we're waiting on the guest, what's going on, everybody? It's been a kind of disappointing month, right? Week. We're already in April, and it still feels like winter. We get snow one day, and the next day we get 70 degrees here in Ohio. And I can't even imagine what it's like over there. I've been to England a few times. The weather isn't fun over there either. Everything's green, but it's cold. Because you're so far up north, but it's kind of weird because you get up at 4 a.m. and the sun will be shining, and you think you're late for work or something, but it's just where it's located, situated, and, you know, I'm not going to talk about England too much, but fish and chips, I recommend. So the food there isn't the greatest, but it's pretty awesome what they have. So what I like about England is the tradition, the old buildings and all that, and the wonders that they have just alone in London. And I remember going into a 300-year-old, or maybe it was 600-year-old, pub in Hunstanton back in 1987. And that country pub was older than our whole United States, and that was fascinating. I had friends that were there with me that had been going there the late 60s. Every time they go to England, they go to that place. There are people who do that kind of stuff, and I kind of like that. I do the same thing when I go to different places. So, but it's a rich history. Royalty there, you know, we're not really into royalty. It doesn't fascinate me at all. Something we got rid of. They don't belong to us anymore. But at the same time, we're the best of allies. We are number one and number two. The one country that's always with the United States is always Great Britain. England is always there with us. They work with us on everything, every deployment we go on. They are the first to join in. Probably something to do with WW2 and saving their behinds, but I could be wrong. They've gotten over that, right? I think they have. But no, seriously, they are. They are fantastic. Their Air Force is top-notch. We do a lot of things together, believe it or not. Things behind the scenes. And when we have those deployments and everything, the commander, the U.S. commander, runs everything, even the squadron and aircraft fighter commanders. They are all U.S. So, you know, like you see on the sidewalk sometimes, walking through the hood, we run this. And that's exactly what we do. We run this. And what is this? This is everything. This is the total control of whatever's going on. And it's very important. Why? Because we have everything. We've got everything to run everything. We run this because we have that. You can't run this without that. You can't run everything without anything. So that's why we run this. Now, that was a little complicated, but I kind of made that up as I went along. But it is true. Everything I said makes sense, to me at least. So yesterday I went out. I was in the hood yesterday, by the way, which Orioles don't like to go there very much, as you guys know. If you read my book, Growing Up White, An Orioles Guide to Fitting In, you'll understand, you know, what I'm talking about. So I was in the hood yesterday. Went to get gas. The controversial, yes, I'm a wealthy guy trying to get gas. That's what everybody feels like, right? You got to be some kind of tycoon to fill up your tank. So anyway, the rules were, and this is at Kroger, you had to prepay first. The guy in the kiosk. I go in there, and I'm trying to figure out, how in the world do I know how much gas I get? I'm down to, like, under a quarter. How am I supposed to know? How can I ever fill it up at that gas station? And you can't. So I guess $30. I was wrong. I got to maybe almost three quarters. But I don't know if that's a good idea. But maybe they're afraid people are running off with the car or their cars with the gas or filling up other stuff. I don't know. It could be. It's just very, very likely you can just run off. But if you pay for it first, you don't have to. But, you know, you got to go through this and that to get that. But I got the gas. That's the most important thing. Don't want the car to break down or anything or to run out of gas. My Mercedes would have run out of gas just getting over there. And that's my 1958 Mercedes that I have. I got it a couple of years ago. Gas gauge doesn't work. No, it's actually not the gauge. It's actually the mechanism in the fuel tank, but that's another story. Anyway, $30 doesn't get you much anymore. It used to fill up the whole tank. I remember you used to be able to go to a gas station, put $5 in. You know, when I was on a budget, $5 was enough. I could get a pretty good amount of gas, maybe half a tank on $5. You could get pretty far. Can't do that anymore. It's not about the cars, it's about the economy. It's not about the alternative, because what is the alternative? Electric cars, $60,000? Who's got that kind of money to spend on a car? And it's not just one car. You need a car. Your wife needs a car. Maybe your kid needs a car. When that goes away, I hope that never does, because we should have choices. And there goes my Mercedes. I can't drive that anymore. Do I have to convert that to electric as well? And there's a lot of fuel and carbon that goes into supplying electricity and charging these cars that you don't see. Just to make the car and to make the batteries, that takes a big taxing chunk out of the environment, they call it. Well, oil is natural. And I like batteries, and I worked with, you know, on aircraft for 30 years, and we had batteries, and I understand how they work. It can only go so far. The technology isn't there yet, at least not to us civilians. And I can't see how that would be efficient when you have to find a gas tank with a Tesla every 300 miles. I mean, you could be in some deep trouble if you didn't make the right choices and take the right routes, if you don't have your own charger at home. I see a lot of problems with it. I think that's just a car that you take out. And you would also, maybe on occasion, you take it different places. You can take it around town. I would never take it on a road trip because, I mean, you're in the middle of Montana, you're done. I'm just not making fun of Montana or anything, but just saying, just the middle of nowhere, how do you recover? You can't just go to the local gas station down the street. You have to have some kind of charger capability. And I know they're going up everywhere, and I see them in the parking lot at Walmart around here, but you have to map that stuff out. It's like logistics are too – I know people do it. Don't get me wrong. But why should I go through that when I can just put on my GPS gas station, or I can just see the sign? I don't have to look for that electric charging thing at all. Why? Because I know what the gas station – I know I can use any gas station. That's the thing. Are there different ratings for different electric cars? I don't know. I don't know if anybody out there knows that either. But it looks like my guest is not showing up. And but if anybody wants to call in, 347-637-3942, feel free to do that. So let's see here. England time. Let's see what that is. I'm very curious to see why he's not here yet. Oh, yes, I guess he will be. So I'm going to go back to the studio. Hey, we have a caller here. Caller, can you identify yourself?
Yes, sir. My name is Josh. I'm from East Central Illinois. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm in East Central Illinois, so as good as that can possibly be, yes, sir.
Yeah, right, okay. I understand what you're saying now. So,
What's the game here, bud? What are you guys talking about? No, I'm just asking what you're talking about, and I'm more than happy to comment on anything. I'm actually pretty good at this.
No, okay. Well, actually, I'm waiting for my guest to arrive. He's an author from England. And he's going to be supposed to
be called the English. Okay. English. No, I'm just messing with you. No, what was his topic?
Oh, he does science fiction books.
Oh, I love – okay, okay. I'm sorry. I apologize for interrupting you so much. I love this actually.
Oh, no. He's not here yet. But I hope to have him on real soon. So, by the way,
yes, sir.
How's the weather
out
there? Probably the same as Ohio, huh?
No, nothing in Illinois is like Ohio. We love ourselves.
Well, the weather, you can just say
more, don't we? No, I'm kidding. No, we have a deeply ingrained distaste for Ohio entirely in Illinois. And it's not like it – no, we didn't do that ourselves. It's just like a long – I'm pretty sure it's blamed on the NCAA. It has nothing to do with anybody.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. No, I mean, I'm not going to say it's clear skies. There are a little bit of clouds, you know. How's it going over there in Ohio?
Yeah, it's all right here. It's just the weather is kind of, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of disappointing. You know, you get to April and nothing happens. You get a couple of warm days. I think it's going to get to the 60s.
You're not from the Midwest, are you?
Yes, I am.
You're from the Midwest, and you're disappointed at what you're seeing in Ohio right now.
Well, let me say this. I grew up on a tropical island. I wasn't born there.
I was born on a tropical island.
There.
Yeah, me too. What island were you born on?
I wasn't born on the island. I was born in California, as a matter of fact. But,
well, what tropical island are you talking about?
I used to live on the Philippine Islands. Luzon.
Oh, the Philippines. Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful country, very happy people with very low income. Yes, I appreciate that. I was born in Hagatnya, Guam, on Anderson Air Force Base.
Oh, I've been there. Been there.
Yeah, I know. No, it's fun until you have to take orders and stuff.
Right, exactly. Air Force?
Yeah, I was born there. My dad was a sergeant for the Air Force.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's interesting because that's a big bomber base there.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Those guys get it done.
To an extent.
Yeah, my dad is an aircraft controller.
Oh, no, I went out of my way to be an air traffic controller. I moved down to Florida and everything, and I even went to Jacksonville to try to be an RPO. And then, it didn't happen. So that's fun stuff, you know, because that's a really high-paying career, because I was actually scheduled to be an ATC in the tower over at some, like, private place in Las Vegas. And that would have been interesting. But then
right.
I would have had to corrupt my soul because I was in Las Vegas. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let's see.
Yeah.
I totally know how that is. Yes. Yes.
So what's the topic of conversation? You're talking about a book?
Yes, we are. We talked about a book here. We'll be at about... hopefully 20 seconds from now. So.
Well, I'm more than happy to mute out. I just want to listen at this point. No, you're a good man. I appreciate you. You put up with me for this long? Oh, man. Somebody should throw you a parade.
No, you're fine.
This.
No. I'm a hardened military guy. I'm good. I don't have to.
Yes, sir.
I don't care. You know, I'll text all kinds of people. Right?
Well, you got to go on. At what point do you start not laughing at stuff that you experienced that you did not expect to experience? You know, I'll never understand these people. But yeah, okay. Your caller, the book you're about to talk about. They're about to call in the author of that book.
He is actually gonna contact us. So it'll be I just said it.
I'm more than happy to shoot the crap with you until that happens. And we're already here. You know?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I love callers. Callers are great because, I mean, it's just fascinating. I had no idea when I first started this a year ago that all these people were listening. You know, that's the point of radio, right? I guess it is.
Yes, sir.
And
people appear to have two settings, completely eccentric or completely boring, and you learn that in radio. I used to have a radio show on Block Talk too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
awesome.
We had like 30,000 listeners a week.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
I know you got to have fun with it, don't you?
I didn't realize how much, how far this Block Talk goes too. I mean, it goes all around the world. If you look at the stats, of course, you know that.
I started having somebody speak, what do they speak in the Philippines?
Tagalog.
Tagalog. Yes, sir.
Yes.
No, I was actually engaged to a Filipino before, and
couldn't
figure it out, even though it was basically like a bunch of mixtures of like Eastern... I'm sorry. It was a mixture of like Pacific Island and Spanish. Like, do you know that queso is also queso? These are important things to understand. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I had fun with that. I enjoyed that very much. And I also had relationships with people in Brazil. I was like, man, you come back to America and you're just like, oh my God. This is hallowed ground.
That's
right. Nothing makes
That's right.
me want
you know
to kiss
is.
The land. Nothing makes
oh,
me want
man,
to kiss the
no
ground
idea.
More than.
You have no
I'm
idea.
Saying,
I've
I'm just
been
saying
there so
if
many
you
times.
Step, if you step off a jet from the Philippines in America, the ground has lips for you to kiss.
Yes, I agree. Well, we have to, my guest is here. I'm going to put you on mute right now.
Okay. Yes, sir. No, I'm.
And you can listen in if you like.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello. How are you, Mr. Cheshire?
I'm very well, thank you. How's the U.S.?
The U.S. is a little warmer than England, right?
So,
U.S. is good. You know, things are, you know, happening all the time. We never know what's going to happen. And, you know, that's one of my points is that you are a visionary with your books. And I'm very impressed with that. So, everybody, this is
an author.
Yes. Yes, it is. People, it changes your life completely. It's amazing.
Oh, it's good fun. Fun what
yes,
you can get up to when no one's looking.
Right. So you have a new book out. Or you want to talk about your book a little bit?
We've
and about yourself
for just
first.
It's been over a year now with Pennant Publications
yes.
in America. It's called The Day Trip by Stephen Cheshire. That's me. And I started
yes.
writing this book at school. Many years ago.
Yes, okay. Well, that's a long one in the making. And I understand because mine took 10 years to finish.
I started it at school, but I think as I had to go through publishers, I made changes to the story, but it made the story better. I've now got 4 coming out. They've released the sequel. Number 3, I'm just about to. Then number 4, I'm going to absolutely hammer at it, hopefully very soon when I finish my other thriller book.
Nice. Tell me, let's talk about the day trip. What is this book about?
Oh, it's about an average teenager who lives in a city called New Haven, which is just outside of New York. I remember looking it up on Google at school. He goes to New York for a day trip with his friends from school and the teacher. The Armazoids, the aliens in the book, decide to pay New York a visit. And it's an epic adventure from in the making.
Sounds interesting.
It's a bit nutty in some parts. That's Paul Parker.
Okay. I understand. You know, judging from one of the books that I've read of yours, I'm pretty sure it's very interesting and things turn into other things. That's what I'm thinking, if I'm correct. I have not read your other book yet.
Well, it's just, I think it's like anything. I mean, you can start off with the story and the ending can be completely, I mean, I've written books or started writing books. I don't even know what the endings are going to be. With the day trip, it starts
really?
Off on another planet. The story then comes to Earth. It then leads to negotiate or help from one of the aliens. And for those who've read the blurb, it goes to a rescue at the end. And it's a complete of an epic shootout. Well, I like to put a bit of humor in with it, I do as well, which makes it more cinematic. And plus, I'm British, we've got to have a good sense of humor.
Wow, that's incredible. That's quite an imagination. Most people, they write, they know of things they know. They can't really go beyond that. So I admire science fiction writers. I think, you know, they can see things that we can't, that the average writer cannot.
Well, the thing is with science fiction, as I said before, you can just make stuff up. It hasn't got to be realistic. I mean, you can write about aliens that can travel back in time. They can travel forward in time. They can travel quicker than light. Let your imagination go wild. Just enjoy yourself.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
So like with the zombie thrillers, alright. I mean, like with the zombie thrillers, alright. Anything can happen. You can invent a virus that does this, but in reality, it doesn't do that. Have fun. Enjoy yourself.
Right. So that's interesting. But you know, a lot of people, like I'm saying, I think you just have that talent for it because most people don't. It's hard for me to even imagine doing that. You know, I just don't have it in me like you do. So that's why I envy what people can do in science fiction because I just can't. I live in reality. I can't make up a story. You know what I mean? But that's good that you can. I think that's awesome.
I think if you watch a lot of films as well, I've watched films since I was a kid, and I've just always had this, it's hard to explain with me being dyspraxic. My brain is wired differently to other people. It's just hard to explain. I have the ability to sort of, I can watch a film and put myself in the film with the characters. And if you can sort of put yourself into the story, you can take it from there. You could, I've had dreams as well when I've been chased by monsters. That's good fun when you wake up halfway through them. And if you can just sort of put yourself into the story, listen to film soundtracks and try and put yourself into the story, as I keep saying, you can develop quite an interesting story.
I understand that, yeah. You know, I still, I mean, it's not the fact that you actually have those ideas. It's the fact that they're rich and they're imaginative. I mean, it's like you're living in that time, like you're living in the past and the future. I don't know, do you have to do a lot of research for things that happened in the past? I'm sure.
It depends on what you're writing about. I mean, from the Retinal Noir, which is the book you read, but I've changed the name, I had to have the opening in Pearl Harbor, as you read. Now, I'm not very good at history myself. Lucky my younger brother, who's done history at university, I'm an aviation student, so it's a complete two different subjects. I thought Pearl Harbor happened in the afternoon. So I have people drinking rich tea biscuits in the afternoon, but actually Pearl Harbor was at 7 a.m., I think, early morning. And luckily my brother managed to fix it. So if you're writing, depending on something that's happening on actual time, then that's okay to be realistic. You can change stories about, for example, but if you're trying to make something realistic, you have, like, going back to Pearl Harbor about the timings, and just take it from there. So some research does help to make it realistic. Like when I researched Japan for the book, I had to look up, it's like Paris, for example. I've got scenes in Paris in one of my latest books, and thankfully I've been there. So if you could just look up the main attractions, like Eiffel Tower, where the prize president lives, you can sort of use your imagination to design like the French streets and back alleyways, for example. But with London, pick up the main points, and then just use your imagination for the rest.
Yes, I've been to all those cities, but I guess that's possible. And I can see things happening maybe while I'm there, translating to a book. But I guess I could do that. And that makes a lot of sense, you know. And being a European, I'm sure you've been to all those cities before, and it's easier for you. If I say Cleveland, Ohio, you'd probably be like, no, I can't. Yeah.
With Google Images, you've got all the resources. There's plenty of means and ways about learning an idea. Think of it as the film industry. This is another example I use. Sorry. They have researchers that go out and look for locations to shoot their films. That's something that when I start writing books, I look up locations to use. If not, just make the location up. But...
Right. Yes, I like that. And I have read a lot of books that do make up locations. Fictional stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that, I guess. You know, I mean, it makes it even more interesting.
Yes, it's like what makes it interesting. If you can pick out the main areas of a city, let's just take D.C. and Washington, D.C. with the White House. You can find locations what you like. You can put it up on Google and start it from there. And then just use, as I said before, use your imagination just to describe the blocks. I know you say blocks, we say streets, we do.
Right. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And you have to give yourself some credit because, I mean, you do a fantastic job. And your book, or the book that I read, because... I mean, it's fascinating. So I'm interested in reading this Day Trip, and I put a link on the my post, everybody to look at that, and because his books are pretty deep, and a lot of imagination, a lot of things I never thought of, he put in there, and things that are very relevant to today. So I encourage everybody to buy this book. And the name of the book is The Day Trip by
Stephen
W. Cheshire.
Then Cheshire, like the
Stephen.
My full name is Stephen with a PH, then Cheshire,
Cheshire.
And you'll see it on Amazon. There's two out now. I'm hoping you can try and get the third out. And I'm working on my other thriller now, Jack North, which is going pretty well. I've started putting it together. And it's pretty deep, this book, from the research I've had to do, like the Congo in Africa, the France, America as well. And I've got a horrific feeling that this book is going to total 198,000 words. So I've got a lot of editing to do once it's done.
Yeah, that's a big deal. The editing is always the biggest thing. But
in a way,
it sounds interesting.
With writing a book, I'll give this advice to other wannabe writers as well out there. If a scene doesn't work out, move on from it. I did that with one of the books I was writing today. I started typing a scene, stalled, hit enter a few times and carried on the next scene and left a little sign saying extend. Think of it as cooking something to eat. If you cook your bacon at full power, you'll burn it and the inside will be disgusting. But if you cook it on a low heat, it'll be nice and juicy. That's exactly what I do with my books. Write the main bits first, then go back to the main story. There's all different strategies of doing it.
Right. Yeah, I like how you say that.
Student, the aviation is kind of realistic.
Yes. So you're an aviation student.
Yeah, master's level now. I'm doing air transport planning at Westminster in London.
So what does that actually mean? What do you do?
Well, I'm learning at master's level how an airline operates. But my main goal in life is to fly an air. But my main goal in life, as I've said to you before, is to fly an aircraft.
Right. Yes. I don't know if you knew that. I did work for an airline for 3 years. It's very interesting.
It's very vulnerable
it's
industry.
It's completely different.
Yes, very vulnerable industry.
Yeah.
It's a shame, though, because it means a lot to me. I mean, I've been all over the world, but a lot of all my books, like The Day Trip, the other books I've written, the one you read, Retinal Noir, which is due to be released sometime later on this year by my publisher, actually come to me while I was on a bus in America back in 2013, going into D.C., and then it was only in 2016, I was on the bus coming back, or the train coming back from the London Book Fair. I dived in and started writing, at the time of the pandemic. And now it's one of my books that's doing very well when it's released. Get what I mean?
Yes, I totally agree with that. And I would like to have a signed copy, autographed
copy of
that book.
I'll send you one. No problem. My publisher, Debbie, in Tenet Publications, has been very good to me. She's releasing my zombie horror set in Australia. She took that on, she did. Outback, that's called. She could be doing the spin-off as well. I've had some good feedback about that from the film industry as well, Outback. That was my first ever zombie horror, that was. Started in 2012.
Wow.
And now that's out on sale. That's been out for a while now. Up from Amazon Kindle. Yes, she took it on. Now it's going to go into her name. Paperback the lot. Really happy.
Right. See, when I see those things you see, I don't ever think about putting that in a book, but now I understand. I guess I don't pay attention like you do, because my goal isn't to do that. My goal is to just write things that I know about. But
that'd be good, because you've got aeronautical knowledge. I haven't got that sort of knowledge. People are different when it comes to writing. People have said to me before, I don't like your writing because it's too fast-paced. It's an opinion. You can't impress everybody.
Right. So, yeah, I think it's fascinating. That's all. Everybody's different. Everything you do, everybody has their own methods and the way they do things. So I can't be you. You can't be me, but I can try to be you, but I just won't make it. I know my limits. Yes.
I think when you look at these, as I said before, with entertainment, books, films, a lot, as I say to other writers as well on this channel, you can always do, you can always, I mean, in Jackknife, I've got a helicopter that goes upside down underneath Air Force One and offloads the Prime Minister on board to Air Force One. And the same again, that
Came
to me, it did. It was originally meant to be something else, but the same again. I went over it again and just kept going over it until it seemed right. Just kept taking things, trying it, starting again. And I've got all sorts in Jack and after. I've got everything. Upside down helicopter, nutty animals in the Congo safari. I've got flashbacks to France, a punch up. Oh, I've got a good... There was meant to be just originally some fan fiction, but it's just gone from a short story up to nearly a 200,000 word book. Just this story kept getting longer and longer and longer. I'm like, is it ever going to stop? So I've set myself a target of May to get the whole book done. Then from May onwards is just to go through it and then hopefully get it to a publisher here in the UK. I've got a few on my mind that I'm going to send it to.
Yes. Yeah, that's interesting. That's the magic part of it right there. Getting it published is a big hurdle for some people, but you're already established.
I've got a track record now with my publisher, so hopefully I can put that onto my application to the company, and then hopefully I can sort of stand out with them. It's a book company I found over here in the UK, based in London, not far from where I live.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I live in a town called Bedfordshire, which is about 30 miles outside of London, but the trains where I live go direct to there. Direct outside their office.
And you did have a publisher in the United States, in Indiana. That was your first publisher?
No, I'm still with her now, Pennett. She's a great lady. I've had a publisher before in the past, but the same again. They changed the tactics. It ran its course. I sold some. So it's like a work contract. You sign up for a job. If the job doesn't go well, you try again. I think Debbie, if she ever hears this, she's a lovely lady, very religious. I've got a lot of respect for her and her husband. They help a lot of people. They've helped me. And hopefully one day I'd love to come back to Los Angeles one day. I went and... And do a film. I fill up a cleaning arm as a job. So I'm hoping one day if there's any producers on this radio show that want to talk to me, get in contact with... forgot your name, Kevin. He's got my email address. You're more than welcome to contact me.
Yes, definitely. And I would like to see. I'm going to read your book. I'm going to get your book, order it today, and I'm going to read it. And I'm going to.
Oh, thank you.
I know how you write. You have great story. You got good stuff.
It's just practice, as I said before, to other writers as well. My first ever zombie horror was about 59,000 words. I couldn't have written a straight away 200,000 word book. It's all practice.
Yes, right.
You sort of learn how to put yourself into a story you do. It's just hard to explain. I'm not sure. I mean, I was chatting to a lady. She was from a church about 4 or 5 months ago, and I said to her, I was sitting outside a local coffee shop and I supplemented my writing in the past. I said, it's quite unique. And I said to her, if there really is a God, why has he gone down the line and said, right, this idiot here can have the skill to write? And she did say something quite useful. She said, you'd use it wisely. And I've got to admit, I do spend half my life book writing and daydreaming. So if anybody does value their job, don't write, because it does kind of take over you, it does a bit. I'm usually staring into space 99% of the time about it.
Yeah, I understand that. And I did an article for the American Thinker recently, and that's what I had to do. I go over and over and over and over until it sounded right. So I kind of see what you're doing.
Just keep going over things and you'll be fine.
Yes, yes. The first pass to the count, you know, just like editing, you got to go over and over. So I do have would you like to take a call from a caller?
Okay.
Okay, we have a caller from Illinois. Caller, welcome to the show.
Hello, sir.
How are you doing, gentlemen?
Good evening, Chief, from the UK. It's 9:10 over here.
Well, I guess,
so you got a question?
Yeah, that's one way to be. Yes, sir, about your book.
Yeah, Far Away.
Oh, he just dropped. He's gone. We lost him on the call.
Well, if he comes back, chuck him on.
Sure. Okay. I like the book that I read that I was privy to see, and this is the future for everybody else, but I know you've got color and flavor and you've got dimension. That's what I like about it. And I've read a lot of those kind of books before in the past, not necessarily zombie, but books like that take places and they time hop and everything. Those are my favorite kind of books, and adventure and things happen unexpectedly. But I could never think about writing that. But the point is, this book has everything. It probably has the same thing that your other books. It sounds like you're very consistent. And
as I said before, I mean, some people have got knacks for genres. I mean, I don't think I could write a 60,000-word romance book, because truthfully, guys, I'd get bored of it. The same again, some people have. I'd rather put the romance into the actual story and take it on from there. I probably could write it if I was given the whole story, but being British, I'm stubborn. I want it all done my way. That happened with another publisher about 10 years ago. They took some of the main funny scenes out. Like, I've got a few quotes. I tend to put, if you've read them, if you read The Day Trip, people, or any of my books, you'll always hear that, like, quote from a film in there. And I love doing that. Truthfully, I'll tell you what I put in there. Because Eric, he's my favourite character. He's the daft one. He's a bit like he is. He's a bit daft. And he mimics what... You know, as you've seen the Simpsons movie, when he goes, stay back, I've got a chainsaw, and then the ram, nam, 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 nam. I put that into the story. And they took, that's my scene. That's my favourite scene, that was. I put it straight back in, I did. So I've got a bit of humour you have, me being British.
Awesome. So, yeah, I'm going to go out. And, you know, my wife has read your book, too, your other book, and we agree. I mean, it's a good book. It's solid. Like I said, it's colorful. If it's not colorful, I can't read it through. I could not put your book down. I'll just say this when I read it. I was like, I can't wait to see what happens next, because it was like, there's like, so many facets. I can't wait for the next section. And I, in my opinion, the end was perfect, because without going into details, totally unexpected. And I mean, you got things in there that I never expected, like, you know, different machines and transportation.
I mean, there's some things I didn't even know were going to come out. As I said, as I said before, move on from it. And then you can focus all your resources onto it. Think of it as a murder investigation.
Yeah.
You interview all the other people and focus your main information onto the main culprit. There's one chase in The Day Trip that took me about 6 attempts to write, and it wasn't... You know, you get that, like, racing heart when you're watching a film. If you can sort of get that sort of feeling while you're writing, then you're doing it perfect, you write. If you don't get that sort of, like, buzz or... from it, then the reader won't. That's what happens. I've rewritten scene after scene after scene, not got the buzz for it, started it again, and blam, behold, I'm off. I'm saying it's got 27 seconds left. Will it extend itself automatically?
Right. So we just got another caller back on, but then he just fell off again. I don't know what's going on there. Calling from Illinois. So I know you say you're working on another in the meantime.
I have done that before. I've got a few books on my computer. Luckily, I've got a cloud book computer, so all the books are saved to the Hotmail cloud. So if something ever happens to this laptop, all my documents are safe. But I've got a space science book in the works. I've got I've done police drama. I've got the spin-off, Fear the Outback, book 3, I've got sort of started going, I have with. But my main goal is just to get Jackknife finished. Jackknife, like when I truck Jackknife. I want to get that done by May, when I go to Manchester in the United Kingdom for a conference in aviation. I've got a spin-off to that I've started as well. It's just the same again. It's the same again with Jack and Ralph. I keep reading through it, changing it. One of the characters, I keep saying his name because he's got quite a vital part. I mean, I've got freight trains in the Congo being shot at. I've got a safari that goes completely tits up for people. And it is good fun. It's got a bit of a tiny bit of humour here and there. It depends on the characters. I mean, I've got a mad FBI agent who likes to flash his FBI badge every 10 seconds. So I'm hopeful of the world without in that flashback. That's going to be about 25,000 words. And as I just said to readers before, I never knew I was going to have the American flashback in the latest book. I never knew it was going to have another scene in it. I just say again, just let the ideas come to you. Do not rush. Or don't panic, as they say, being British. Be British about it.
Okay.
That's
yeah,
all about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I want to answer some questions.
I think he's trying to call back again, but it keeps falling off. So, my question is, tell us about your first book. What was that about, and when did you write it?
Oh, God. What I'll do is, I won a competition at school many years ago. I had to go. It's called the Rotary Club. It's for people that assist schools, because I'll be honest with people now, I've come out about this. I didn't go to a mainstream school part of my education. That's like we've got you've got civil, or we call it mainstream and statementist schools. And I did had to do a short story. And I wrote a story about a growth hormone that was converted into a pill. A snake ate it, and we had a giant snake going around Toronto and Canada. And it's about 6,000-7,000 words, and I won an award for it. And I called it Snakes in Toronto. This was years ago when I was at school. And then I just really got a buzz from it. I was the same again. I was listening to soundtracks and stuff, and I was the same again. The ideas just come to me, and I just took it from there. And then the day trip was originally called The Field Trip. And then I just changed it to The Day Trip, changed the story, really dug myself into it. And now I've got 4 books coming out with my publisher. 2 are out already. Number 3 starts in, I'm not going to go into too much detail because I don't want to spoil the story, but all I can say is this, for those who've seen the cover I've revealed, starts in Los Angeles, then it goes to Amazon, and then Sigonia. But that's all I'm going to say on that, so I don't want to give it away too much. And, of course, I've got an Airbus A330 struggling with aircraft above Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Got it. That's interesting. I like that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, being an aviation student, I've got to put a bit of realism into it.
Yeah, I like that. Because I know a lot about aviation things, and that's right up my alley. So I like that. Beautiful.
It's actually a female
That's
pilot
incredible.
I've got, because the first officer's dead, and she likes to, when to cut a long story short, the Armazoids, they shoot a rocket up at the aircraft, it shuts down the aircraft's hydraulics, and I have to go into detail about the RAT, which is the ram air turbine, which is a small propeller underneath it. So, of course, I've got to put some realism. It then crashes onto Hollywood Hills and then goes downhill from there. Do you get what I mean? I'm not going to give away too much, so we'll be here all night.
This is probably the first book ever written with a rat in it.
But I will say this now, Bradley did look down at his feet, and of course, being an aviation student, I had to put a few quotes in about it, of course. It's the green system. So I know with Airbus A320, they use blue when they use their hydraulics. But with the A330, they use green. But I had to make sure it was realistic, otherwise I'd never sleep at night.
Yes, right. A330, I've never seen one of those in person. I've never been on one of those. So
I
know
I
it's a
India
nice aircraft.
It's a good aircraft. I went to India and won about back in 2014 with Virgin Atlantic. And I've also done Sydney to Perth on one. So I've kind of been quite jet-setting being an author.
Yeah, wow.
I've done the A380. That was a trip and a half.
Tell me what it's like to be an author. I want your opinion and why you say it's a good thing.
As I said before, I was saying this to somebody in my workplace a few weeks ago. I said to all these people, that have written books, sent it to a publisher, and have never had anything published. Luckily, we've got, I've been turned down by publishing houses before. I'm not going to say any names because I'm not like that. And it just, it's like winning the X Factor, like Britain's Got Talent. It's like, how is it all these people can sort of get turned away? And I've got a publisher now that's literally just taken everything I write. She's taken my Outback book, published it free of charge, not tradition, not self-published, actual publisher. Zandemic, which is now Retinal Noir. I think she's publishing the spin-off as well to Outback, Fear the Outback series as well. And she's also going to be doing the Day Trip 3 later on this year. And then the Day Trip 4, which is going to be coming up probably, I don't know with that yet, because I've got so much to write with that book.
That's awesome.
It just feels so odd. All the time people were saying it'll never happen. It just feels so odd. I think I'm going to wake up in 10 minutes when my alarm goes off for work.
So, as an author,
is that cool about
it
yet?
Opens a lot of... No, he hasn't. The thing is, yeah, we usually, I mean, this is not the usual time, so I'm going to actually run this on another day, on another Wednesday.
Okay.
Where we'll have a lot of the more audience, because this is not a usual time, people. And I usually the magic time is 7 p.m. to 8.
Well, your time.
Somewhere around that time? Yes. Right, and that's when the most people listen to it. So
okay.
It's going to be a rerun.
We can always do it again. We can do another talk later on.
Yes. And the shows never disappear. I mean, if you copy the link, you can listen to it anytime. And you can actually put it on your page and people will listen to it. As an author, and I understand what you mean by, you know, rejections and everything and people not taking you on. And I've had that many times. The good things about it. I mean, you travel a lot. People want to talk to you in other places.
I've not been out the country in 2 years since the COVID pandemic, but my last trip out the country was March 2020, and that was to Dublin for an aviation conference. But I've been to Dublin before, but it was a BA321. But my next trip's to Manchester, which is only about a 30-minute flight, but I don't care. I'm going on an aircraft again. But yeah, the second I get to the airport, I'm like sort of barging people out the way to get to Starbucks. I want me coffee. I don't care. sort of paying £10 or £5, which is about $8 to go through fast track security. Because I want to get in, sit down, shut up, get a coffee and get typing. But when I clean the shopping mall where I live, that's my job. I work because university's down in block. I'm in all this week. The second I get called for lunch, I'm sort of sprinting to get to the tea room. And when it comes to coming back, I'm sort of taking a very long, slow walk to get back to work.
Yeah, I bet. So how far is Manchester from London? Or you're not actually in London, are you? Are you close?
I live in a town called, I'm from London. I was born in London, the north. And I Manchester from London. No, I'm not a Man City supporter or Man United. I'm not really a football person. It's about 200 miles. It's about 200 miles from Heathrow. So only about a 35-minute flight. The same again. I was offered to go by train. I said no because I want to help the airline industry because it means a lot to me. And with going to Manchester by train, it could be more expensive. So I'll just get on the coach from where I live, straight to Heathrow, get to T5, do a TikTok video about what I'm doing, and then go to the terminal 5. I know where the coffee shops are if they're still open.
Yeah.
Start typing, wait patiently for my flight, get on the aircraft. Now I'm in Manchester for 4 nights going to a conference, and I've used the time to do some writing, even in just a shopping mall. Go there to eat, write. But then again, people say to me, don't you chill out on holiday? I say, well, I do chill out. I love book writing. What's the difference between watching a football match on holiday in the sun? I mean, I love traveling. I've been all over Europe. I've been to America. I've done Seattle for the Boeing factory. I've been to Los Angeles, Portland, Oregon. I've done San Francisco while I was in Seattle, D.C., Miami. I love the U.S. I'd love to come back to L.A. I would. I went up to the observatory and seeing Los Angeles from the top of from that observatory. Oh my God, it was amazing. I'm never going to forget that. Cost me $1 to go on the bus up there.
Okay. Yeah, I've been to Huntsdanton. I spent 2 weeks there. Way back in 87. And been to England like 4 or 5 times, been to London a couple of times. We think that's fascinating. You know, Americans, I mean, we pick that over Los Angeles any day. That's because we're not from there.
I would like to do Hawaii one day. So if I ever do go back to Los Angeles or something, I'll probably skip across on Hawaiian Airlines for a couple of nights in Honolulu. A glass of orange juice with my laptop by the pool. I'm anyone's friend.
Yes, that's a long flight.
And about 4.5 hours. Get my laptop out.
Well, from where I live, it's a long flight. Yes. Yeah, I've been there too. I've been through there.
It does look a lovely set of islands. Just remember, don't do direct flights.
Yes. 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 So I was explaining before you came on about how England has so much more history, and they're like so much older than we are, and it's fascinating to see the pubs that are older than our country, and architecture and everything is just fascinating. To us, it's like, wow, this is something we never see. And I have a lot of pictures from downtown London driving through, or we went on a tour there back in 18. Was it 18?
Well,
yeah.
Look, as I said to people
so
before,
much.
London's got a lot to offer tourists. I think what people have asked me about traveling as well is if you want to go to a major city like London, New York, Washington, when you stay in the hotels, you haven't got to stay in London City itself. If not, you can say this as well to people. I've actually been to Kiev in the Ukraine, and I was so upset when I saw about that country being attacked because a part of the day
yeah.
to three, I typed in Kiev while I was at the Hotel Bratislava, stayed in Donetsk, which is about 15, 20 minutes by train.
Yeah, that's
like
in the news.
Underground train. And I've been to Moscow as well. I've seen St. Basil's Cathedral up close, I have, and St. Petersburg.
Interesting. Yeah, that's the culture we don't have. We have to make it's a big deal to go over there and to do touring and everything. And there are places that we don't even think about because, like Donetsk, we never even think about going there because we're not there. It's something that's not on our radar. This is the first time most of us have heard of Donetsk was for this war that's going on right now. So,
and
St. Petersburg? Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I've been to St. Petersburg. It's a lovely city. I went about 4 years ago, back in 2017.
Okay.
And Moscow was in 2013 while I was at uni. But also, then again, I'd go back to Moscow one day. Kiev, I'd love to see again one day. They're nice, Eastern Front countries, or Eastern Europe, or... But same with Poland as well, Lithuania. They're all the ex-Baltic countries. They're very, very nice places. The people they're decent people. I've been there many times.
Yes. Fascinating.
Has that caller called back yet? Is he okay, is he?
He is not. He's trying to call back. He just keeps losing his connection. I don't know why. And he's in the U.S. too, so it doesn't make any sense. So anyway, you have anything else to say? Or I know your time is growing close.
Yeah, it's 9:30 over at night time. It's not past the bedtime because I'm an author. I've got to stay up late. I can't sleep and I've got to listen to my music and do my typing. But thank you for listening, people of the USA and the world. It's totally interesting. My first ever radio talk, so I'm sure I've been a bit yappy. You can find my book on Amazon.com or whatever retailers. That's The Day Trip, Stephen Cheshire. That's Sierra Tango Echo, Papa Hotel Echo November, Stephen. Then Cheshire, Charlie Hotel Echo, Sierra Hotel, India Romeo Echo. That's the British phonetic alphabet, not American. So I do apologize to any officers or serving personnel. That's how the British do it.
Yes, that's how the military does it
and
too.
And that's one other thing I'll bring on quickly. That's one thing that one American did read his first book, and he did tell me, he goes, I know it's written by somebody who's British because of the British slang, like bloody hell and damn it. And, I mean, typically British, but as a second book set in the UK, I've got to take the key out of the English. But I think one of my most favourite characters in the day trip has got to be Marco. He's American, he's patriotic, he's loud, loopy and funny. And same again, he does a very good job. He plays his part very well in the book. It's like a film. I've got a load of actors in there, and it is good fun. So if you want to write a book, guys, just do it. Just as I said, take your time. Don't rush. It's not a race. Like I said, going back to cooking your bacon sandwich, that's what we say. Don't, if you rush it,
really?
It'll be disgusting. It'll be horrible. But if you put it on a low heat, take your time. It'll be wonderful. It's the same strategy with book writing. Have you got any more questions, Kevin?
I do not. I'm going to respect your time, and I appreciate you coming on. This has been fantastic. I learned a lot on this, and I want everybody to go out and buy this book. Look for this book, The Day Trip. And I know it's a colorful book, and things are good. And Stephen W. Cheshire has done his homework, and he's redone and done it over again. And this should be fantastic, like the last book I read that I couldn't put down. So I'm going to be putting this on my Facebook page. I'll do that and throw out advertising the book because I
maybe
think
when
you need to be.
Book, maybe
what's
when
that?
You've read the book, you're more than welcome to call me
yes.
back and I'll do another talk about it. And you can ask me some questions about what I've got.
Sure. Yeah, I would like to have you back on again. Every time you release a book, let me know, or if you're going to do something, or if you want to come on just to talk.
Yeah, you're more than
and
welcome
probably
to
have,
read it, and then call me back in a few days' time when you've read it, and you can ask me some questions, as many as you want. Thank you
I
so
sure
much.
Will.
This is my first ever radio talk, so I'm sorry if I've been yappy. This is my first ever talk.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. There's a lot of things like that happen here. So I didn't know. I thought you'd been on a lot of them, but I wasn't sure. But I wanted to have you on and talk about your book because I think you're a worthy author. And I don't put everybody on here. And people that are established, and you've had several books out, and I just wanted everybody to hear who you are and what you do and for them to support your book, your books. So The Day Trip, we're going to push that hard here. So
I'm going to
talk to you.
Well, if you well, once you've read it, call me back, and I'll do a talk on it on here, and you can ask me as many questions as you want. And thank you to the listeners as well. I hope you're keeping well.
You too, sir. Thank you for coming on, and you have a nice evening, sir.
Thank you so much, guys. All the best, guys. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. That was Stephen W. Cheshire. He is an author. He's in a city not that far from London, but he was born in London, and he does a lot of traveling in Europe, obviously. Isn't that amazing? These are cities we've never even thought about going to. We don't even know where they are. You never heard of them until things happen. We just have a different mindset altogether. And everything over there is old, and he loves the United States. So I'd rather go to London than to go to the United States, the different cities here sometimes, just because it's a different culture. It's a whole nother time, time era, whatever era you want to go to. It's just different. You get to realize how young our country is when you go over there and how established they are. And they've got palaces and castles and carrying on. All over Europe they have that. But we're the new school right now. We're the new school, and we run this. So I'm not going to bring that up again. But I appreciate having Stephen W. Cheshire on. And tonight's show was a short one, short but sweet. And we appreciate Mr. Cheshire from coming on. And hope to have him on again in the future. That's what I like to do. I love interviewing authors because authors – they have my heart because as an author myself and owner of a publishing company, I like to have people that experience the same things that I do, and I learn a lot from them, and this is why I do it. So everybody have a good one, and we are going to sign off, and I think I'm going to go ahead and push this one for maybe tomorrow night or next week or sometime down the road to see where it fits in. I do have guests coming in the future. So this is where you see me on the one-off. So I'm not actually on Wednesday. I'm on another day. to accommodate, and that's what I do. I will accommodate for anybody who wants to be on this program. If you want to be on this program, I'll have you on. We'll talk about whatever interest you have, or if you love this country, or if you love things, don't like things that are going on right now, we can talk about it. And, you know, everybody needs a little bit of intervention, and that's what this show should be called, intervention, sometimes. Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's not. So, everybody, hang in there. See you next – oh, wait a minute. It's Monday. I'll see you guys on Wednesday. I might run this Wednesday, or I might bring my other guests on. I have another author coming, and we'll see how that works out. I'll schedule that accordingly, as they say. Good night. I mean, goodbye, everyone. See you later.